Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia, points north, south, east, and west. And Brian and I were in Los Angeles last night, and we're in Washington this morning. Good morning, B.
What up, bro? How you doing?
Chilling, man. Big win for the Commanders yesterday.
Humongous one.
It was, you got to really, really credit Quan Martin for making a big play when the team was desperate for one. They started 0-2 on the road, started slow again, down 10-0 at the end of the first quarter.
Yep.
And honestly, the way they were moving the ball, it looked like it was about to be 13-0 or 17-0.
Yep.
L.A. looked really good early in this thing. Washington's defense had no answers early. Washington's offense couldn't do anything. And then football's a game of momentum. You create a turnover. You completely kind of flip this thing on its head. Yep. Washington's able to go on a drive. The Quan Martin fumble, the Quan Martin forced fumble, it's far too early to say anything saved a season, anything like that. Mm-hmm. But it altered the season. It is an impactful play that changed an entire game.
Yeah, it changed the game, definitely. And I think early on, you know, they had plays to get Jaden to feel his way, and he was trying it. But once he moved around a little bit and realized I can go with this thing, whole ball game changed. You know, you can tell watching that team for the first 4 weeks and watching them yesterday, they ran a totally different defense approach. They had been rushing that five people, leaving that space. They were rushing four, kept somebody watching Jaden. They were scared of him.
Yeah, I mean, the first two drives, Washington's offense looked anemic. First drive was a three and out. Second drive, they got a first down, then they punted again. After that was the fumble that Quan Martin forced. They go, their next four possessions were touchdown, field goal.
Mm-hmm.
Jaden settled in, made some really good throws. Bill, dude, like this, what we saw in camp where there was so much mm-hmm. excitement surrounding Bill. He was a beast yesterday, and they gave him the work.
Yeah.
Bill finished 14 carries for 111 yards, two touchdowns, averaged 8 a carry, had another two catches, 40 yards through the air. Bill was a dynamic weapon. But then in the second half, a lot of this is how you respond when the stuff hits the fan.
Mm-hmm.
Bill puts a ball on the ground.
Yeah.
He got blown up in the backfield. It was a bad exchange because there was a Senate. I don't know if he missed the assignment or what, but there was a Chargers defender almost took the handoff.
Yeah.
And Washington
he had the ball on the side of his body.
Yeah.
And came right out.
Washington, all of a sudden, it's like, okay, a first half fumble completely changed this thing for the Chargers. Would a second half fumble undo Washington?
Yeah.
They responded. And what I love the DQ did is Bill got the carries on the next series.
Yeah. I like that, but I'll tell you this. People have to just understand they have three guys that are capable. And on top of it, you saw down the stretch, C-Rod was in the game carrying the ball too. And McNichols is just a pro, dog. When he caught that ball on the sideline and he went for it, he was like, to hell with running out of bounds. You sitting there waiting for me? I'm going to give you something to eat. He fed him shoulder pass.
All three could play. Bill has a higher gear than the rest of them.
He does. But
his vision and the cutting ability is
he has
pretty special.
That little stutter move that stops people in their tracks. But I'm just saying, there are going to be games where he may not be the guy getting the most carries. The other guys may be clicking that day, and they'll go with it.
I feel like from yesterday, he has earned.
One game doesn't solve the whole problem.
I don't think it's a problem.
One game doesn't solve it. When you get into other games, he may not have it that day. This is just what football is. And one of the other guys may. So it's like, let's understand, this is a running back by committee type of situation in this day and age of football.
I most teams are. Yeah. I think Bill, though, yesterday, I'm curious how it'll go. We'll find out. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to start to solidify a bigger chunk of that. And that's like maybe he's at 60% of the carries. I don't think we're ever getting to a situation where he gets 90%. You know what I mean? Like,
no,
that's just not the way most
football teams are. And that's what I'm saying. It's like he since day one, everyone thought he was the number one back anyway. Still, they will start the game off with other guys. Depending on the approach sometimes. And that's the thing about football these days. You can go out there, you can break game plan based off of matchups and situations and the run styles and things of that nature. You can do all those different things, which makes you more deadly as an offense.
For sure. I thought, I mean, a huge difference yesterday. I think the reality with Washington's defense is I don't think they're built to be a top five, top 10 unit, especially in yards allowed, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think when they can generate pass rush, and ideally that can create turnovers, and then the offense is clicking and they can stay on the field and put some points up, like that's how they're built to win. That's what happened last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you saw that effectively yesterday. Five sacks in that game. The Chargers' offensive line was a mess. They lost. They were down both tackles going into the game. They lost Mekhi Becton in the game. When you play,
a guy that big was going to go out there and play, you always wonder if he's going to make the whole game.
Well, dude, when you play a team with a beat up O line, beat them up. Like that's what you're. They accomplished the mission.
Yep.
Because they were able to take advantage. Herbert looked pretty damn good, honestly. I mean, that dude just has an absolute rocket. And there were
he throws a lot of dump offs to me, though.
There were a lot of portions where they were just going to where they found the soft spot in mm-hmm. the zone as Washington kind of played some more relaxed zone in the second half. But Dan Quinn always talks about, and I know that there are still people that roll their eyes, but it's something very clearly they've put together. He talks about, we want guys on our team that have been through the journey. It's not about getting knocked down. It's about how you respond.
Yeah.
And I thought yesterday, Samardzija made a completely inexcusable mistake early in this game,
mm-hmm.
jumping off sides on a field goal. He jumps off sides. The field goal becomes a first down. They score on the next play. Just that is an inexcusable mistake. And knowing Mikey a little, I am sure it was going to weigh on him significantly. And then he responds late in that game after the Bill fumble to get that goal line interception. Credit to Johnny Newton for tipping that pass. And it's not like Mikey's like, oh, you know, I messed up earlier. I got to make up for it. You just stay locked in and continue to do your job. And it works itself out. And I just thought, really indicative of how this team kind of stays in the fight, whatever phrase you want to say. Because, you know, at that point, if L.A. is able to convert after the Bill fumble, this game looks different again. There were a lot of, like, kind of swing, like, pivots, if you will. Like a lot of fulcrums in this game where things could have swung either way.
Yep.
And Samardzija getting the pick at the goal line was massive.
That's where the mental aspect comes in, because if you watch Samardzija, they had that same play earlier where they threw the touchdown to Keenan Allen. He was waiting for that play this time. And he was helped out by the lineman tipping it, but still.
McConkie, I think.
Whether they tip it or not, he's still there.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Totally.
So
the Chargers.
Yeah, McConkie.
The Chargers, to their credit, perhaps, sure helped Washington get the momentum going. The Quentin Johnson fumble that Quan deserves a lot of credit for, but you can also just hold on to the ball, dude.
He put shoulder pass straight to the ball.
Yeah.
But, and that's the thing about receivers. Receivers aren't used to taking those type of hits. Normally they get hit around the waist. His shoulder pad was directly on the football, and he had just started to tuck it in. And, you know, when a receiver gets hit like that, normally that ball will – it'll move a little bit. A lot of times they get to catch it again. But Quan was able to hit it where the shoulder pad went straight through the arms and ball came out with it.
The other play that was a massive swing was the roughing the kicker. Tress, in the two games out in L.A., you remember how hard he got hit in that Rams game a couple of years ago? Tress took a solid little pop. It was a no-doubt roughing. McConkie runs that thing back for six, and everybody in the stadium knew this doesn't count, except Vlad McConkie, probably.
As a return guy, though, when that ball bounces, you know that's a chance. If you look at that play, go back and check it out. Anybody out there want to check it out? When that ball bounced, the whole team, the coverage team, slows down. And when he caught that ball and took that first step, you can't just pick up speed that quick again. Everybody started to coast because they figured he was just letting it go. And when he started coming back, you know, I was like, oh, this is trouble right here. And I'm looking at him run up the damn sideline. And Tanner was like sitting there because I didn't see the roughing. Because I was watching the return, man. Tanner like, it ain't no good. It's not good anyway. It's roughing. I'm like, what you talking about? And I look back and I see the flag on the ground. But I watched him the whole time. As soon as that damn ball hit the ground, I went straight to the coverage guys, and they all slowed down.
Yeah, you're right. I think I don't think any of it was luck. I think, you know, they stayed in, but that was a clear roughing, which made it.
Oh, yeah.
It was never really a question. There were a bunch of just kind of those little moments where things swung in their favor.
But they kept the head about them, and I think that's the thing about a good football team. And like, I think everyone has to understand, like, last year was last year. This is a totally new team who's trying to get back to that point. And I think in this game, they overcome a lot of things that could derail you.
Yeah.
And they showed some mental toughness and some awareness. And they showed that they had some oomph about them to take those hits and keep going with it. So this team, that game may be a game that we look back to and say, this is when things started to rock for them.
I thought Debo was fantastic. Just been really good since he arrived here.
Did you see the play where they were when they scored a touchdown? In the huddle, they were practicing a little dance. This is right before the touchdown was thrown. And then they did the exact same dance in the end zone.
Maybe they saw what they needed to see.
Listen, earlier in the game, I don't know what the hell that referee on the Chargers sideline was thinking, because he didn't make calls he should have made. The first one, when Debo is turning back and the guy just has his hands up and run right through him, that's interference all day, every day.
Oh, down the left side?
Yeah, he never called it.
And Jaden took a pop after the – like, Jaden took a late hit on that.
A late hit?
You could have called either of those.
Not only
did Jaden get hit late, it was kind of high. They protect the quarterbacks with that all the time.
They protect certain quarterbacks.
Speaking of Jaden, I think he deserves just an absolute ton of credit for yesterday. Throws for 230 with the touchdown. I think two things need to be pointed out with Jaden Daniels. One, he's fine. He kept saying he was fine. He played. He was fine.
He's tough as nails, too.
Absolutely.
I'm just giving it to him.
I don't know that you have any of these people in your life. I have a friend. I'm not going to name his name, but he's a real estate agent, went to University of Maryland, and is older than me, but we were in the same fraternity. I believe you've met this.
I know what you're talking about.
He's been telling everybody that would listen, Jaden's way more hurt. Watch. You're wrong, sir. He has the same initials I do.
Everyone that wants to make that narrative or that story go, they've been wrong. Because there's been a lot of people pushing that. But the whole thing about it, let's be real now. People know how to play games in the NFL. Coaches do it too. So, yes, he was wearing a knee brace. You know why you wear a knee brace when you have a sprain? Okay? Because you want to help protect it and try to let it get healthier. Tom Brady made some comments. I saw you had posted it. But the thing about when Tom played, the brace that Tom wore was probably
Landfill posted that.
Well, whatever.
Yeah.
That the offensive lineman wore that.
Yeah.
Okay? An offensive lineman was wearing a brace like Tom wore. If you look at that brace that Jaden had on, it looks bulky because, you know, it's a smaller person. But that's one that's a lot more fluid. And if you were to pick it up, it's feather light. Because when he slipped and he had on the pink shoes, they quickly came off.
Debo changed those pink shoes.
He started to deal after that. Because I think when he got tackled on the first play and he got hit that second time, he knew at that point, I can go. And once it was cool in his mind mentally, it was hell for them at that point.
The other thing I wanted to say about Jaden that I was really impressed with, he protected himself.
Yeah.
Like he said going,
he slid several times.
He said going into the week, I know I got to be smart. I got to be balanced. If the game is in the balance, I'm going all in, right? Like, you're not going to stop me from doing what I need to do, but I can be smarter about this. Cliff Kingsbury talked about it. Dan Quinn talked about it. Jaden hit an absolute perfect slide, and throughout that game, he was kind of protecting himself. And mm-hmm. I just thought that showed a ton of maturity.
Yeah. Quarterbacks have to learn that you are part of the guys. You're one of the guys, but you know what? You're kind of the CEO of this thing where we need you to be here all the time. You know, we need not only your physical presence, we need your mental presence as well, because when he's on the field, teams play differently. When he's out there, your defense has more to be concerned about. And his job is to be there for the long haul. And there are a lot of quarterbacks, won't name any names, they play reckless. They play more reckless than he would play. And they're going to find out real quickly that this ain't their game for that.
It just shows a level of maturity.
Yeah.
And I think for Jaden to kind of grow, you know what I mean? Like, all right, I had to miss a couple games. I got to take care of myself now.
Yeah.
This is not about getting 2 extra yards in the second quarter of week 5.
Yeah.
It's about being able to play in January.
Yep.
And thinking big picture for the game and big picture for the month and big picture for the season. And I just was really impressed by Jaden yesterday. You know what I mean? It was just weirdly people try to nitpick him for stuff. And I just thought yesterday was a really great example of him handling things as he has his whole time here, which is just like in this super mature, professional
route. He's done everything he needs to do to prove to people. But I've told you before, a lot of the comments coming into the Commanders text threads and stuff like that, they're not Commanders fans. It's just people trying to start stuff because they know all you got to do is say something on social media and it's going to get, boom, blown out of proportion.
You're 2-2 coming off a let's be real, bad loss in Atlanta, flying across the country, your quarterback's coming back from an injury, you get down 10-0, and then you go 27 unanswered.
Mm.
I mean, it's just, you talk about guts and resilience and being able to take a punch and then throw one back. It was a really impressive effort, complete team effort. The defense, Von Miller had 2 sacks. Dorrance Armstrong is having like a Pro Bowl type season.
Yeah, the young man that hit me last week talking about, well, Von Miller hadn't done anything. He already had a sack. Now he has 2 more. And he's playing like 10, 15% of the plays. Tell me he's still not doing anything.
I think when they're able to get pressure, and Payne and Kinlaw, Payne had the 1 tackle, I think, on that screenplay that he completely sniffed out. Wagner actually had a really good pressure on that. When Payne and Kinlaw are creating trouble in the middle of that defense, it makes just a huge difference. And, through 5 games now, there's a body of work. We've seen what is working and what isn't working. And mm-hmm. when those two are causing trouble up front, it's working, man.
Yeah, totally.
It's working. You know what else is working? John Leahy. If you're looking to buy or sell a home in the DMV, John Leahy is out there to get you the best deal and the most cash possible.
Just like Javier and Alma did it. They wanted a new home, something updated to help them serve as a new beginning. But first, they need to sell their Silver Spring property in order to buy. And while it was stressful, Dustin, a member of the John Leahy's team with the Fine Living Group, showed them the strategy to execute both transactions, both at the same time and hassle-free. Alma and Javier's home ended up selling for top dollar, almost $20,000 over the asking price.
$20K,
brother. And thanks to John Leahy and the Fine Living Group, that's what enabled them to buy something both newer and bigger. Looking for your own stress-free transaction? How about a guaranteed offer on your home? Check out those details and more at johnsellsdmv.com. We're talking about our good friend John Leahy and the Fine Living Group of eXp Realty. John offers you flexible fees customized to your needs, and he knows that life happens. So if needed, John will let you out of your contract at any time.
Dude, and if you've been waiting around trying to find the right time to buy a house, right now might be that time. There's a lot of for sale signs. I think buyers have the power in this market right now. There's some uncertainty, and when you work with John, you get certainty. He's got buyers in waiting. He'll get you pre-approved, and maybe you get more house than you expected because the market's turning in your favor. Whatever it is, if you got to get out of town, if you lost a job, maybe you got a promotion, whatever the situation, go with John and the Fine Living Group because they'll remove the stress and get you in the house you want ASAP, or they'll sell yours for more cash than you can imagine. Call John today, 301-900-3052. Go online to johnsellsdmv.com, or what's even easier, just Google John Leahy Group and start packing.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
For receiver yesterday, but Luke McCaffrey and Jalen Lane each made one catch. Lane's was a 16-yard catch, I believe, on a 2nd and 12, picked up a first down. Luke able to track and catch that deep ball. If you know the folks, if you don't follow All Pro Reels and you listen to our radio show, you're probably doing something wrong. All Pro Reels is like just an elite Instagram account. Those guys work really hard. They take great pictures and reels and all that stuff. The pictures they got of Luke making that catch yesterday are just phenomenal. It was one catch for 50 yards, but it completely flipped field position. And, you know, last week we did this. It was Landfill's topic. It was a Landfill topic. And it was like, are you mad about how they've built the wide receiver room? And I think, with the wide receiver room, the Terry injury's tough. Honestly, that Chris Moore not catch in the corner of the end zone, I think if 17's on the field, that's a touchdown. Chris Moore wasn't able to bring it in. We've seen Chris Moore have some struggles catching the football. The Terry injury's been tough, but the way they built this thing with two Pro Bowl veterans and then two young guys they think are developing, I think you saw it yesterday. Lane and Luke combined for 66 yards on two catches, but damn, they were important, and they were, you know, young guys kind of making the most of their opportunities. And for Luke now, that's three games in a row with an impact play. He had touchdowns in the previous two games, and then yesterday the 50-yard catch really set that offense up well. But earlier I was talking about how important that Quan Martin force fumble was. So just listen to this, and I want to credit Tom Shad from the Post that did the research on this. The Chargers ran 26 offensive plays prior to that fumble. They were averaging 6.4 yards per play before the fumble. So L.A. ran 26 plays before that fumble. Washington ran 8 offensive plays before the fumble. Like, when you talk about time of possession, I mean, that's 3-1. L.A.'s on the field to Washington. In the first quarter, I bet Washington possessed the football for like a minute and a half. So, L.A. before the fumble, 6.4 yards per play. Afterwards, 4.4 yards per play. So that decreased by 2 yards per play. And then Washington, I this is almost more astonishing. Their offense just started to click. Eight plays for 30 yards. They averaged fewer than 4 yards per play. 3.8 yards per play prior to that fumble. Bill had like one decent run. They really couldn't get anything going. Jaden didn't look accurate early. He was late on a throw to Debo. After that, 47 plays, 359 yards, 7.5 a pop yards per play. Like that fumble was so dramatically important to this game. And the way both teams kind of responded to it told the story. And it just completely flipped this game upside down. And I just, sometimes fumbles are a time and place, whatever it is, you got to be opportunistic on a football field. That is why the Commanders coaching staff always talks about ball is life and, you know, be active, going for the ball. They did it, and they did it well yesterday, and I think it paid off for them. In such a significant way. Landfill, when they were down 10-0 early, how concerned were you?
I was extremely concerned. You know, it's not just that they were down 10-0. Like, the one time they had the ball, they gained 5 yards. I think at one point the yards differential was the Chargers had, like, over 120 and the Commanders were at 5. It just seemed like for that entire game, the Chargers were just going to get the ball and kind of march down the field and put up points every time. The defense didn't look like they were going to be able to stop anybody. The offense was kind of doing their, you know, struggle thing that they had been doing in some of the games this year. And morale was low at that time. It was very, very low.
Deservedly. It was, I mean, sitting in the press box, when they got on the drive that ended in the fumble, they started at their own – the Chargers started at, I believe, their own 14-yard line. They got 3 first downs on that drive. They were cooking. They went 10 for 60 before the fumble. Like, they were moving. They were almost to the red zone when Quan forced that thing out, and it sure as hell felt in that stadium that it was going to be 13-17-0. And it was just such a vital, vital play. Dan Quinn's going to talk this afternoon. There's certainly some stuff they want to clean up from that. I think for another week, the tackling wasn't great. I do think they did a better job of, as a group, running to the ball carrier. So that prevented some of the missed tackles from becoming really big plays. I also thought, you know, we did see a little bit more of Jordan McGee on the field. I thought he made an impact and was a useful player in this thing. I'm actually pulling the snap counts up now because I'm curious. In Atlanta, I don't think McGee played a defensive snap. He didn't get a ton, but he was out there a little bit. They put Medrano and Cahoe were both down. Cahoe's kind of dealing with the injury, but it was interesting. Johnny Newton made a couple plays. Jacob Martin made a couple plays. I thought Eddie Goldman gave them some good snaps. I thought it was a much better overall effort. Marshawn Lattimore, I thought, was good in this game. It seemed very different than the Atlanta game. Yeah, so Jordan McGee was out there for almost 20% of snaps. I think they ran a little bit more actual 4-3. I got to go back and watch. I haven't had a moment. I went from the game to the press box to doing a show last night, running to the airport, Dulles, my house for a shower here. So I have not watched the film yet, Landfill. I'll confess on that one. But I think they
haven't watched the All-22.
You have?
No, you haven't.
I have not. I will. I haven't yet. Honestly, for those that have already, God bless you. There's a lot of film experts on Twitter, Landfill. I'm not sure if you're aware of that. It was just such a vital game. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to open the phone lines up at 11. We're going to do credit pies. At noon, Santana Moss is going to join us. At 1 o'clock, Lorenzo Neal, Chargers great, is going to join us, kind of see what he thought from yesterday. Exciting day. You know what was exciting yesterday? Anybody that knows Santana knows he's just like a well-dressed, always... Tana's always the coolest dude in the room. Like, he just has this super chill vibe and is always just kind of easygoing. And Santana yesterday complimented my fit, if you will, Landfill. And my fit was Collars & Co. The Collars & Co. dress shirts are incredible. It feels like you're wearing air conditioning and they don't wrinkle. I mean, I was running around all day. They looked perfect by the time I was live after Sunday Night Football for all ears. Working with Collars & Co. has been awesome. B. Mitch loves the clothes. I love the clothes. B's getting more casual stuff. I'm getting more dressy stuff. They could do it all. And when you're wearing, especially the polo shirts, you could do anything in those. You could put a blazer on with them. It looks like you're wearing a dress shirt. You could wear them to go play golf. You could wear them going out for a date, going out to dinner, whatever you need. You don't have to iron this stuff. You don't have to take them to the dry cleaner. It is incredible how versatile the Collars & Co. clothes are. Check them out at collarsandco.com. Better yet, they're opening a store, Congressional Plaza on Rockville Pike, October 15th. I'll be there. If you go over $99, use the code JPFINLEY and you get 20% off orders. That's a really good deal. If you spend $105, you're getting 20 bucks off. JPFINLEY20 is the code. Collars & Co., they're a game changer.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carman Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Who sings this, Landfill? REO Speedwagon?
I actually don't know. I only know it from SpongeBob.
Okay.
I don't think SpongeBob wrote it.
I'd be impressed if he did. We're going to open these phone lines up in about 10 minutes, all right? If you want to get on there, get on there.
Oh, it looks like it's David Glenn Isley.
Shout out to David Glenn Isley. Never heard that name before in my life. Something just happened that needs to be relayed. Commanders won yesterday. It was a big win. Big, 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 big win. Showed some real guts. Came from behind. Got down early. Looked bad. Finished strong. White Brian, however, just looked bad and did not finish strong. So White Brian and I were in the kitchen at the little market, mart, whatever you want to call it. I was buying something. I said, White Brian, just ring it in. I'll buy your hummus packet that I think he got for breakfast. I don't know if he was nervous or what. But Landville, you know on the little market counter thing. There's a pretty obviously, and every store, every CVS, wherever you go has self-checkout now. Everybody knows how to operate self-checkout. And there's like the light where you scan the barcode to scan it in.
Yes, a little red light.
Yes.
It's unmistakable.
Unmistakable. Unmistakable? Regardless. Irregardless. Then there's the area where you swipe your credit card, or if you're paying with your phone, you hold your phone up to the thing to pay. I legitimately think my six-year-old daughter would know which one is which. Certainly my 10-year-old. I think most people in the United States of America know where you scan the barcode versus where you pay. B, when you're in the little market over there, the little market in the kitchen, would you ever mistake where you scan the barcode for where you pay? You hold your phone or you
now,
swipe
scan
your credit
the barcode
card.
Has a little light.
Yeah.
Where you pay, it's like a slot.
Correct.
Yeah.
So I'm buying
who made that mistake?
I'm buying my bottle of water. White Brian's holding hummus that he wants to purchase. I said, scan it. I will buy your hummus, young man.
So you put it where you pay?
He put it right on the credit card machine. And it was, I was flabbergasted. I was blown away.
Hey, man, Brian is a special kid.
Brian, do you have a defense for that? Because it was wildly stupid.
No, I have no defense. It's one of the dumbest things I've ever done.
It was like.
One of them. How about jumping into an ocean when there's a hurricane going on?
I'm on a streak of pretty dumb decisions.
I hope Rose doesn't listen to the show, dog.
Oh, my Lord.
She's got class right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably biology, right? This is a really good point from Craig D. Just sent me this. Quan causes the fumble. Big play. But then Washington had a false start.
Yeah.
It was 3rd and 16.
Back. Go ahead.
And then Jalen Lane makes the big catch, and then you get the Luke big catch. Like all of those things.
Wasn't the Jalen Lane catch on, you know what? It was on our former player here.
Indeed it was.
Yes. I mean, he'll help us out. I mean, you know, if we get to the credit pile, we got to help him, give him a little credit.
Benjamin St. Juice was involved. He was involved in that. I thought, what does that win do for them be next week? Like, what does getting that dub mean for them going forward, or is it just one game?
I mean, in essence, it's one game, but I think you can carry some confidence into it moving forward because they hadn't played well on the road. Everyone has said that. But then they did start a little slow, but they were able to correct it mid-game. You know what I'm saying? They corrected the things, and they came out strong at the end of the game. So this is something that they can build on and say, listen, let's try to figure out why we started in that first quarter like that. And let's try to bottle up what the hell we did for the next three quarters. You know, it's just you're always looking. Just like when you go out there and you start watching film, okay, and you see the things that went wrong, you can eventually find out what that was. You know what I'm saying? You got to do the same thing when it comes to the mental aspect. And as I said before the game yesterday, whoever are those guys, those energized bunnies, those guys that bring the exuberance with them, Debo, Revo, bring that. You know what I'm saying? Because there are guys on the team looking for those guys to do certain things. And then when you watch big plays happen, like I don't know if it was you or somebody else stated to me that they saw Quan in practice having all these big plays.
Von Miller talked about it.
And they figured that he was
Thursday practice with three interceptions.
He was going to have a big game. He did. Listen, man, I know visualization, people look at it in different ways, but hell, I would visualize stuff. You got to see something and believe in something to get to it half the time. And if they got to start thinking that way, just come out the game and believe. Look, I went into every game saying, let me be the one. Not necessarily to make the play to win it, but to spark my team. You know what I'm saying? So when I did all the extracurricular activities, a lot of that was to excite my team.
Sometimes it works, man. I just think, you know, you beat the Giants week one. They were struggling. You beat the Raiders 2 weeks ago. They were kind of struggling. This is a very different win to go on the road against a team that widely believed to be pretty damn good.
Uh-huh.
They, you know, the Raiders probably are going to bench Geno soon. He's been really underperforming.
Mm-hmm.
The Giants, they got that win. They benched Russ 2 weeks later. Like,
mm-hmm.
there's no question. They got Herbert, who was good. Chargers had injuries on the offensive line, but teams have injuries.
Yeah.
Washington's without their best wide receiver.
You know what I said about their injuries? Sorry. Not sorry.
I mean, Washington's without Terry McLaurin, yeah, and James just missed the last two. Yeah. Like, injuries happen. Yeah. That was a different level of a win. Now you look ahead. You got an extra day of rest going into the Chicago game. Here's what we're going to do. We'll let Jeff Walker lead us off. When we come back, it's credit pie time. Phone lines are open. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Give us your credit pies, baby.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.